Today on Real Radio.
We can't have our Bibles open this morning and, as it were, have dust on them. This is the last of the age of the church age, and Christ is coming soon. And when you look at the world going on around us, everything that God warned about in the Bible is starting to show its head, and specters of things are looming. From complacency to global war. From famines to pestilence, things are happening.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the New Testament narrative written by Luke. We've been in chapter 6, taking it one section at a time. This chapter tells of the Messiah's claims, his works, and his teachings. Well, verses 27 through 36 convey some of the teachings of Jesus, which are to be heeded directly by his followers. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in a presentation called Our New Way of Life.
In verses 27 to 36, Jesus is speaking, as we've been listening to him, in this calling of his disciples together, in his ministry in front of those that were, number one, opposing him. That was the religious hierarchy of the day. He already told us that he had gone up and prayed all night. The Father had given him 12 names. He names his disciples, now apostles. And out of the group of them all, Jesus now begins ministering the Word of God and communicating to those who will listen the very spirit of the kingdom. And this is vital to us who are Christians. And I want your undivided attention this morning. I'm going to tell you right now up front, this message, I pray anyway, will seize you. It will grab you, not because of any finesse or anything on my part, by no means. In fact, I'll probably mess it up, but God is faithful. But what I'm challenging you to think about is what Jesus speaks here to us. Church, listen, what he said then is what he says now. He's alive. And what he's going to be speaking to us, it's going to demand a response from us, just as it did of those back then. Are you with me? This is vital. We can't have our Bibles open this morning and, as it were, have dust on them. This is the last of the age of the church age, and Christ is coming soon. And when you look at the world going on around us, everything that God warned about in the Bible is starting to show its head, and specters of things are looming. From complacency to global war. From famines to pestilence, things are happening. As we look to the Word this morning, let's keep this in mind by way of the title of this message. It is our new way of life that Jesus has called us to. God has given us a new way of life, and it's found as we look at it together here, beginning in the 6th chapter, beginning at verse 27 here. Listen, follow along with me in your Bibles. Jesus said, "But I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, and pray for those who spitefully use you. To him who strikes you on one cheek, offer the other also. And from him who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Give to everyone who asks of you, and from him who takes away your goods, do not ask for them back. And just as you want men to do to you, you also do to them likewise. But if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those from whom you hope to receive back, what credit is that to you? For even sinners lend to sinners to receive such back. But love your enemies, do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for He is kind to the unthankful and evil. Therefore, be merciful, just as your Father also is merciful. Strong words. You say, Jack, this is the golden rule. Yes, it is. And I want to just tell you right now, as much as you might have great intentions to keep that golden rule, to get out of here this morning and say, I'm just going to keep living that golden rule. Do you understand that you can't live it? You can't do it without the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. And even then, it's going to be a constant challenge in your life. This is not human, what Jesus is telling us about. Now, this morning, you may be thinking, I have done all those things, and I'm just the living model of what's recorded here. You know what? Maybe, maybe not. I'm going to vote for maybe not. Because you know what? We can't live this life without God living His, listen, His life out through us. That is Christianity. That's what God does. All He asks of us is to be willing to say, Lord, here I am. And it's that moment of invitation where Christ steps in, and by the wonderful Spirit's power, the Holy Spirit, He will begin to live His will through us. So number one, in our study together, there'll be 4 points to our message this morning. Number one's found here in verses 27 to 28. Our new way of life, what's it look like? Number one, it's powered by divine love. Will you jot that down? Number one, it's powered by divine love. It has to be God's love. You may be the most loving person in the sanctuary this morning, but you've got to have God's love because human love is limited. Note this. Jesus said, but I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, and pray for those who spitefully use you. This may sound trivial to you, or it may look like something we should skip over, but I'm dead serious about this. Look at that first line right there, that first sentence. When Jesus opens it up, He says, but I say to you who hear. Number one, Jesus is speaking to those who hear, who want to hear. The word in Greek, by the way, to hear, is to lend, listen, or bend the ear. Watch me. Like this. See that? You guys remember Ross Perot? Think of that in your mind. It means to bend the ear. You know how we're trying to listen to something and we'll cup our ear and make that receiver bigger? What's that? Jesus is saying, I'm going to be speaking, and I'm going to be speaking to those of you who are bending your ear to hear. And I want to ask you this morning, is that your heart today? Do you want to hear from Jesus Christ? Do you want to hear from God? It's not me speaking right now. Forget me. I'm a student this morning like you are. But God has promised to illuminate His Word to our hearts. That's how the Holy Spirit will take the Word of God and touch somebody this morning that's 99 years old to somebody that's 9 years old. God does that using the Word of God. But are we willing from 9 to 99 to be bending the ear to hear from God? That's how we should walk into church like this, to be bending the ear. Lord, I've come to Calvary today. I've come to church and I want to hear from you. That's how it ought to be. And by the way, any church you go to. And by the way, let's just keep saying, by the way, when you open up your Bible in the morning or in the evening or whenever you do to read, you ought to think about that. You ought to put those Ross Perot kind of ears on when you read your Bible to take it all in. Very, very important. But as important as that is, I love what Jesus says here, but I say to you. Will you mark that in your Bible? Why does it strike me? Because number one, before we even get into this challenge about love being divinely empowered by God, Jesus says, I say to you, and I look back and I think about the prophets of old. When Isaiah was going to speak, Isaiah would say, thus saith the Lord, and he would speak. Daniel would say, thus saith the Lord. Ezekiel would say, thus saith the Lord. The prophets of God would say, thus saith the Lord, O Israel, or O nations, and they would speak. The prophets of God always said, thus saith the Lord. God was speaking through them, and they spoke. For those who say Jesus is the greatest of prophets, or Jesus was only a prophet, many religionists hold to Jesus being a great prophet, then why didn't Jesus say, thus saith the Lord? He never said, thus saith the Lord, for one simple reason. He was the Lord. He said, I say to you, I speak this to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you. Why? Because He's the Lord. He's the one speaking to them. Jesus is God incarnate, God in the flesh, walking among men. And he speaks and he says, but I say to you who hear, and here we go, that God's love is divinely powered. He says, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. And he goes on, bless those who curse you and pray for those who spitefully use you. Jot this down, verse 27, we see this, that regarding God's divine love, that is the very power of the believer's life, it doesn't look like this world's love. You know, this world has its love that it defines, but it doesn't look like this world's love. The world has its definition of love, and it's messed up, and I don't want to go into it. But note this, it doesn't look like this world's love. God's love is completely different, and you get a great picture of what God's love is like when you look at what Jesus is saying. This is the law of the heart of the kingdom of God, love. And if you've got love, Paul told us, you can prophesy, you can speak in tongues, you can do all kinds of things, but what does it say? If you don't have love, it profits nothing, it's worthless. So if we are Christians this morning, we should be able to have a love that can be metered or a love that can be recognized by people that, listen, it's beyond us. It's outside of us. What do I mean by that? Those of us who are Christians, have you watched this happen in your life? As you grow along with Jesus, you become more loving toward people. And not only is that true, you become more loving toward strangers. I find that always amazing to me. Why would you care about a stranger? Why would we pull over and help somebody who's struggling along the road? When before we were Christians, we would, you know, drive in that mud hole and splash them while they were disabled along the roadway. I know none of you would do that, but you didn't care. You're on your way to your own thing. Why should I stop? Now that we're a Christian, we see people and there's compassion in our hearts. We're moved. Or you'll talk to somebody. You begin to speaking to them. And it's a strange thing, but you love them, but it's different. You say, how can you love me when you don't even know me? I don't know. Only the Christian can say that. You can meet somebody for the first time and say, you know what? We'll do this or we'll do that, or let me pray for you, or man, you know what? I'm sorry to hear this, or I'm really excited to hear this. And you sense this strange love that comes from above. It's not goofy. It's not worldly. It is holy. And it's from God. Where does that come from? It comes from heaven above, as every good and perfect gift from God does. It's not of us. And it doesn't look anything like the world's love. Why? How? Jesus says, love your enemies. Does the world love their enemies? Absolutely not. But the Christian does. Why? Number one, most important thing, to win our enemies to Christ. Number one, to give them Jesus. How's that going to happen? You think your enemy is going to receive from you and I a Bible verse? No, they're not interested in our Bible verse. They're not interested in us preaching a message to them. They're interested in seeing Jesus come out of us. And that is most often done without a word. Love your enemies. That's a verb. Get up and do it. But our enemies, Jack, are you kidding? We're going to love our enemies? Yeah, listen, this is the law of the heart, as I said. It's a growing, developing, maturing Christian experience. And I thought about some enemies that are against us, against you, against me. And there's some images that we have on the wall, or on the screen, I should say, this morning. And I want you to consider this enemy of ours that's here, right there. Who's that guy? Man, now, you say, well, that guy's dead and gone. He's dead and gone, but I've been to Europe. And I've also been to some prisons here in America, and this guy's worshipped. Make no mistake about it. If you don't know what I'm talking about, go visit one of the California state prisons. This man's worshipped. Adolf Hitler, go to Europe. In certain places of Europe, he's still worshipped today, an absolute maniac. Next picture. Just keep going through. Osama bin Laden. Do I need to talk about how big of an enemy this guy is to the world, to nations? And yet we're supposed to pray for him. When's the last time you prayed for him? Look, that guy needs prayer. That's Charlie Manson. Does he not look like an insane man? That guy's possessed. Charlie Manson, he's still alive. We need to pray for his soul. Do we as Christians really love our enemies? Listen, when you go to Washington, D.C. or Sacramento, make appointments with your leaders and go to their offices. You know, they got to let you in. You're paying for their office. Go in there and tell them, you know what, I want to pray for you. We had people just about a month ago go into Barbara Boxer's office and Dianne Feinstein's office and pray for them. Listen, pray for those who are against us. Don't hate them. That's wrong. They'll never come to Jesus if there's this wall of separation between senator and Christian. Did you get that? We need to tear that down. We need to tear that down, and we need to get to them and love them. And if it's our police officers, if it's our mayors, if it's our city council leaders, pray for them. But listen, apparently, according to Jesus, when you and I have what appears to be an enemy, we are to love them. The Christian enemy should be the most blessed person on earth. You say, well, Pastor, my husband's not a Christian. He should, well, what is he? What are you implying? Is he your enemy? Treat him like an enemy, according to Scripture, and he'll be the most blessed man on earth. You say, what do I want to bless him for? Why would I want to bless him? Because he's your husband. And if you bless him, or she's your wife, and if you bless her, they just might wind up listening to you. They just might wind up wanting to find out about this Jesus you have. Love, Jesus said, your enemies. That's a whole new way of life, and the world doesn't understand it. The world cannot get it. They think we're nuts when we're kind to people. When you hear about someone forgiving, Jesus forgave me, you might hear on a news broadcast, and Jesus forgave me, so I'm forgiving those that did this crime. And the world laughs and says, you're crazy. They don't understand. And by the way, this word, love your enemies, is that word agapeo in Greek. Love them with God's love. The second thing I want you to see under this, that God's love is a divinely empowered love, is that it doesn't act like the world's love either. God's love does not act like the world's love. He says, do good to those who hate you. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Yeah, that's what he's saying in verses 27 and 28. This is absolutely amazing. Well, what that means is when it's a doing good to those who hate you, this is an amazing challenge because it shows you a picture of someone that is against you. And instead of you, watch everyone, instead of you rising up in retaliation against them, they will only rise up all the more and it will escalate into a confrontation. This morning, getting ready to come to this second service, there's news coming out of North Korea and out of the Pacific. We've got an armada of ships there because this North Korean missile threat is heightening and they're going to launch this missile. And all the nations in the world are saying, don't do it. And now there's talk this morning, less than 30 minutes ago, of a coalition of nations led by the United States disarming that missile before it's launched because it can strike innocent nations. What in the world is going on? Things are crazy. When you up one, the other, then the other, there's an escalation. Abraham Lincoln said, I want peace, but my enemy is bent on war. Tragic. Jesus said, do good to those who hate you. Number one, it's the very nature of God. It's the nature of Christ, and it can often diffuse a situation. But if it diffuses it or not, God says, Jesus says, do good to those who hate you. And by the way, that word hate means they want you dead. And that's just as he taught us a couple of weeks ago. They want us dead. What should we do? Instead of retaliatory actions, Jesus says, do good to them. The United States still to this day has a tremendous benevolent reputation to the world. Did you know that even when at the height of the Cold War, when Russia was in need, we sent them wheat, we sent them aid. When an earthquake hit China, the United States was the first one to respond in humanitarian needs. It was the United States that gave more billions of dollars to the tsunami effort to nations. That's a beautiful thing on the political side. But where does that spirit come from? It's an effervescent, it's a leftover of this nation when it was committed to God and to live in the Christian life. Our enemies, when you see them, we're to bless them. Pray for them. He goes on, and he's telling us that we do good, they hate, we bless, they curse. And I said this before, and I want to say this again. We need to make sure that our skin gets tough. We need to make sure that we stay in the Bible. Church, are you listening? Stay in the Bible to keep your heart tender before God. At the same time, God in his wonderful works in our lives will begin to roughen up our skin a little bit. That when people curse us, we don't pack up and blow away. Do you understand that when they curse us, it's the Lord God that's at work within us that they hate? You know this. We've talked about this before. When the world responds the way that it does, it has its agenda. When God loves as he does, he's got a completely different approach, and the world often completely misses it. Our new way of life, thirdly, verse 28, it doesn't feel like this world's love either. When this world loves, it's bizarre. Look, he says, pray for those who spitefully use you. And the word spitefully use you is an interesting word here. Are you ready for this? Jot it down. It's amazing. Pray for those who, here's what it means, they slander you to their advantage. We say today, put down. No, they really put her down, or they really put him down. To slander you to their advantage. To lower you that they may appear to be elevated is what the word means. It means to make you look bad so that they might look good. We would say they tore you down. That's what the world does. The world turns to the Christian, the very one who's praying for them, the very one who wants to do them good. The world turns to the Christian and attacks us. We expect the world to do it. It's a horrible thing when so-called Christians do that to Christians. I believe, by the way, and I've seen this happen, I believe that God judges even his own children when they do that. Look, if your kids are chewing each other and beating each other up, judgment's going to come. Look, I can tell you, my brother and I used to get in fights on Saturday mornings when my dad was trying to sleep in. It was his only day to sleep in. And we knew this every Saturday morning. And my dad didn't say, it's hard to tell knowing me, but my dad never said a word. But man, when he came down the hallway, we knew the end of the world was near. But he would discipline us. He didn't get up and go next door and spank the neighbor's kids. They weren't his kids. You see what I'm saying? God loves us. And when two of God's own children begin to eat one another, or if somebody begins to eat one of God's children, who they themselves is a child of God, God is going to deal with them. And there's a lot of this that needs to stop in the body of Christ all around the world. And I don't know where we get that from, other than from Satan wanting to have his way in our lives. But when somebody goes to say something about somebody else, you need to say, excuse me, do I need to know what you're about to say? Hey, did you hear about Fred? Do I need to know about Fred? When you get done telling me about Fred, will I think of Fred more highly or not? See you later. Hey, if the guy walks away, then you didn't want to hear it. You didn't need to hear it. Are you with me, everybody? Yeah. This thing about tearing people down. Listen, well, I feel better. Well, you know what? You're weird. Something's wrong with you. When you tear people down, that you feel better. And by the way, anyone who's ever had any experience at life, when someone's tearing somebody down, it is an absolute indicator that they are very, very, very down and are trying to pull people with them. Remember that. Jesus says, don't be like that.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a presentation called Our New Way of Life. It's taken from Luke 6 and verses 27 through 36, part of our journey through the New Testament narrative of Luke, which will continue on Monday's edition of Real Radio. Now, if you were unable to attend the recent Southern California Bible Conference here at Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, or even if you did but wish to review and assimilate the valuable information, well, the entire event is now available for purchase on either CD or DVD. Visit realradioactive.org to find out more. realradioactive.org. Our number is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Our mailing address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Of course, all of our contact information can be found at realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, in Southern California, and made possible by the generous participation of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.